Well, good morning. Welcome to the Be the Edge Challenge call. We're glad to have you with us. And my name is Kevin Flanning. I'm president of the Edge. And we're going to talk today about something that's probably pressing on everybody's mind to some extent or another. Hey, do any of these times ring a bell for you? 8:46 a.m. What is that? It's a little less than an hour from now. Or maybe 9:03 a.m. 9:37 a.m. 9:59 a.m. 10:07 a.m. and 10:28 a.m. I assure you that there are people in this world, some that may remember every one of those times, but there are people that those times individually mean something pretty powerful to them. At 9:46 a.m. on September 11th, 2001, the North Tower was struck. We all remember that day. The conversation is, where were you, right, when the towers were struck? I remember where I was. I was in Howard Porter's office, and we were looking at his little TV set right after the first one struck, when the second one hit. Let me ask you a quick question. Sounds totally sideways from that for a moment, but who goes about their daily tasks not wearing their shoes? Can you imagine? Right now, I imagine every one of us have shoes on. I don't know about you, Rick. You're probably sitting at home propped up in the bed listening to this, but the rest of us out with our shoes on, right? Well, Christine and Brian Stanton, Brian was actually out on the balcony when the first plane hit the tower. He didn't see it happen, and he just thought a bomb exploded. So he went inside, he woke his wife. He said, honey, I think a bomb just blew up. So he and his wife, Christina, were standing out on the balcony trying to see what was going on. They saw the smoke. They were only a few blocks from the Twin Towers that morning on the 24th floor of their building. The second plane skimmed right over their head and made a turn, and they weren't sure what was going on until it slammed into the second building, the South Tower. And at that moment, they began to realize something was not right, and they didn't want to be anywhere near those towers. So they ran down 24 floors, got out on the road, and began to sprint toward Battery Park, which was a few blocks away. I've never been there, so I'm not sure how that layout is. But as they ran, they said there were hundreds of people at least doing the same thing, just running in that direction. And not people from the crash site, but just people who, like them, lived nearby and wanted to get away from as far away as they could from the Twin Towers. So as they were running with hundreds of others, one thing, and Christina just kind of reflected on this in her story. She said, one thing I noticed was there were shoes lying everywhere, and people were running as they ran. Later, as she reflected, she thought, you know what I think was probably happening was people were running out of their shoes. They were trying to get out of their place quick. She was still in her pajamas, as were a lot of folks, and they were running down the street, and their shoes just came off because they hadn't had time to time or taken that time. Some were carrying shoes they were planning to put on at some point, and that became less important. They dropped them. The stands were barefoot as well. As they got to Battery Park, they were being pushed and shoved and were afraid of getting crushed. They really believed they were going to die that morning. And they found one of the old walls to the fort, and they hid down behind the wall. And Christina said as they were hiding there, she began to pray, just, God, look out for us. God, what's going on? God, take care of us. God. And then she said that as she began to add up her life, the life she'd been living, the goals and ambitions she had, it's when it hit her that she had the most shallow walk with God she could possibly imagine. As a matter of fact, she says this: at that moment, it totally didn't matter that I hadn't achieved my Broadway dreams or hadn't gotten a penthouse. It was all chasing after the wind, she said. And why didn't I have a close relationship with God at this period? When the only thing that mattered at this moment was God, I didn't really have it. She recalled praying, Lord, I'm sorry that I've not put you first in my life, because I hadn't. I was a Sunday Christian. You may remember immediately after 9/11, I certainly do, the churches filled up. People felt free to talk about God and about faith and revenge. But no one was screaming about church and state separation. That just kind of was, you weren't allowed to say that at that moment. Michael Keaton talking about his new role in the movie about the 9/11 compensation fund, which incidentally sounds really boring in and of itself, that movie's titled Worth. But as he was studying on the role, he said, you know, the thing I realized was that during 9/11, empathy was really visceral. I mean, you saw nothing but empathy. He noted today, it's like we're getting more and more removed from it. Months later, church attendance began to dwindle. We all saw that pattern. You know, COVID had a similar effect back in March of last year, first lockdown, virus coming. You know, people kind of gathered and huddled and planned and plotted, we'll get through this thing together. Now, you know, a year and a half later, people are fighting about mask mandates, vaccines, stuff like that. See, the thing about Christina and Brian's story that really struck me was the shoes. See, it's amazing in the midst of something intense, the things that we think are so important in normal life, you know, just look at the pairs of shoes in your wife's closet and my closet and maybe your closet. They find their proper place in our priorities when there's a crisis, and what really matters begins to really matter. God calls us to live that way every moment of every day. And what really matters is who he is in our story at every moment. Do we find ourselves like Christina did, realizing maybe when it's almost too late that we've not made God the priority he needs to be in every area of our lives or in our companies? So today, be sure that God and all that relates to him is in its proper place, and everything else comes after that. See, what's most important in our life is him. And then whatever else is on his agenda for us at that moment becomes number two. But it's not bad being number two when God's in the first place, is it? Jesus says this in Matthew, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Hey, keeping God first, that's the goal, right? That's why we are the Edge. That's how we are the Edge. Now, today, go and be the Edge. Thanks for being a part of our challenge call this morning.
Thanks, Kevin. That was great.
Well, hey, thank you guys. Y'all have a great day. Hey, don't forget. Hey, we got a great thing for those of you who aren't off yet. On September 27th, Jim Strucker from Black Hawk Down did 9 tours in Afghanistan and other things. He's going to be sharing at a iron sharpening lunch at the side restaurant off Orisha. There's only room for about 15, 16 folks. And we're looking for CEOs, owners, leaders in their corporate environments to be a part of that. So come and join us. Let us know. There's no cost. Hans and his group are actually hosting this thing. So if you're interested in being a part of that iron sharpening event, and then of course, Seahoy's coming up October 12 and 13. Actually, it's October 27th, not September. So we got a little time on that. But anyway, thank y'all for being a part, and let us know if there's something the Edge can do to